for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2005 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday afternoon, December the 26th, Ladies 115 Deliverance Meeting. Gail Patton is the speaker.
Okay, so now we're going to have Patty pray. What I just said was basically Patty's prayer this morning was perfect. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Go ahead, Patty. Yeah, I hit it when I was talking about Jane.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just agree with Gail. Lord, we agree with your word, Lord, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, I just agree again with the prayer this morning that we did pray, Lord God, that those areas, Lord, where we are so sincere, but we are so sincerely wrong because of deception. Lord, I just pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding. And God, that you would take off the veils, take off the scales. Lord, we ask for truth. We ask for truth today, Lord God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see those things that we have believed as truth, but they have been wrong. Help us, Lord God, to see the truth of it, Lord God, and to walk out of the error, to change the patterns, Lord God. And Lord, help us, Lord, to see, Lord, not to begin to walk in the word that you have ordained for us to walk in, as you mean for us to walk in it, and not as we perceive that it should be walked in.
Yes.
But God, that as you have meant for it and ordained for it to be from the foundation of the world,
yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. This is a subject of brokenheartedness. You may think, well, you have no problems with brokenheartedness, and you may not. You may have been a mature enough Christian to where you've gotten deliverance, and you've been able to walk and guard your heart the way God intends for you to, and you haven't had a problem with brokenheartedness. But I'll bet you anything, you know, you can't turn to the right or the left when you go home and not run into somebody that's not got a terrible problem with it. And what I want you to do is just kind of think about it while I'm talking and think about where some of these areas might be and think about how you might be able to deliver your friends and family, because you are not the only one that needs deliverance on this. Everybody you know needs deliverance on this. Everyone is affected by brokenheartedness at some time in their lives. And a lot of times we get a grip on it. We tackle it the way God wants us to. We get rid of the demons that are causing a broken spirit and a broken heart. But sometimes we don't. So, would you pass those out? One of the things I'm going to do is pass out this sheet. And I want you to look at it as I speak. And with your pen on the second sheet, if there's anything that particularly seems to apply to you that I speak about, like disappointment, hopelessness, or something just that I say, or some maybe abuse in your childhood that you never thought about before. But yeah, that teacher did that to me. And my heart really hasn't been quite right since that teacher did that to me. I know recently I've gotten deliverance from what a seventh grade teacher did to me, and I didn't even know it until I got into deliverance. I didn't even realize how badly I was affected. The fear of man that Rachel talked about this morning is so prevalent. I think I had fear of man from that seventh grade teacher. And I had to get rid of that. But anyway, that's what we want to do. Some of these things, what I want you to do, if these words apply to you, I want you to circle it. You come to a word and you think, I think I may have a little residual problem here that I need to work on and get rid of. Circle it. But if something really comes up that really does affect you and you think, well, that could be a real big problem, I just want you to write it on this page because you're going to pass them back into me at the end of this. So you don't have to put your name on it. Just write things that come to you like, Aunt Susie, she said blah, blah, and I think I've I've had a problem with that all my life. You know, there might be something I say that will trigger in you some of the things that could have caused a broken spirit or brokenheartedness in you. And sometimes it's not, you know, complete brokenheartedness, but it's something that has opened the door to brokenheartedness. Brokenheartedness is not a spirit. There's not a demon of brokenheartedness. There are a jillion demons that cause brokenheartedness, that cause broken spirit. And we want our spirit to be healed the way there's so many verses in the Bible that says that we can, that God does. God wants to heal our, put our heart back together. And we're going to go over some of those things. But first of all, let's turn to Luke. Some of the things, if you have your Bible, just a few verses we're going to turn to. And for time's sake, I'm just going to go over most of the verses. But Luke 4:18, let's look at that. This is a mission statement by Jesus. So really, one of the first things he did in his ministry was he stood up in the synagogue and told them, I'm the Messiah and this is my purpose in life. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Okay, we want to look at places in your life that you may have been bruised and caused brokenheartedness that you may not even realize. Turn to Isaiah 61. That's what he's quoting. And let's kind of compare Luke 4:18 to Isaiah 61. There's one little difference that I think is kind of interesting, because brokenheartedness, bruisedness has a lot to do with grief that we really just don't get over. And we don't even know it. We don't even think of it as sorrow. We don't even think of it as grief. But it's something that grieves us that we don't even realize when it's happening. That is just like turning the knob, opening the door, in comes the demon. If we do not handle it according to Scripture. Now, we know a lot about what the Scripture says. And sometimes we handle it the way God intends us to handle it. And sometimes it's just out of lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:8 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Sometimes those things happened when we were a kid in the womb. We didn't know the Lord very long, and we're just out of stupidity. We've opened the door and let it in out of sheer stupidity. But there are times when we open the door and let it in out of rebellion to God. We know how God wants us to handle it because we know this word, and we don't. We just don't. And we become rebellious, we disobey God, and we'll have trouble as a result. Anyway, let's look at Isaiah 61. The Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. If you have a heart that isn't whole, it can be a bondage of the worst kind, because you can be paralyzed. Your relationship with others, your relationship with the Lord cannot go forward until you get unbound, until your heart is free. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. That was Jesus, what he said his purpose was. It's a big deal to him to... Is that what I'm doing? Like, that's what I'm doing. Sorry. I figured it out. My coat went over. Okay, I fixed it. Okay, to them, to comfort them that mourn. Okay, we can respond the way God wants us to comfort our hearts, or we can do it the wrong way. And let's go over some of the things in case we missed it. Let's go over a few things. Because we don't want to have a calloused heart. God promises in Matthew 13:15, you can turn to it or not to it, or either one. A lot of things, I won't say turn to it because I'm just going to move on as fast as, you know, I want to go over some things quickly. Matthew 13:15. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. You've got to do this. Understanding is with the heart. If you can understand with your heart, God will heal you. And that's one of the things we do when we come to Lake Hamilton. We have a lot to learn. We have a lot to learn. We have to learn a lot to learn so that we can understand with our heart. We need to learn how to understand with our heart. You know, the Bible says we don't think with our mind. Did you know that? Jesus didn't say that. He said you think with your heart. So let's learn to think with our heart. This is such a huge subject. Now, there's no way I can get to it all, but I thought it was interesting. I'd like to make a quote from John Eldridge. It's a good book. He wrote about the heart, on the heart, and he wrote Waking the Dead is the name of the book. The quote is, "The story of your life is the story of a long and brutal assault on your heart by the one who knows what you could be and fears it." Now, who is the one that knows who you can be and fears you? Fears that. Not God. It's the other guy. He feels, Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's what God will do for you. You don't have to fear when your heart's broken. You may think, "Oh my gosh, my heart is broken because I didn't respond the way I know I should have. I held unforgiveness in my heart toward that person." I know Matthew 18 says you forgive from the heart or God will send the tormentors, and I didn't do it. But the good news is God wants to heal you anyway. He wants to forgive you and bind up your broken heart. Psalm 147:3, I'm going to read it again. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The key verse for today is Proverbs 15:13. Let's just look at Proverbs 15:13. This is a good one for you to remember. Memorize it, whatever. Because when you're trying to get a grip on this and you're trying to figure out what I'm talking about, just go back to this verse. And I think God will help you and show you. 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. But by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. But by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. You have got to get a grip on this and keep, guard your heart. The Bible says guard your heart. Broken in Hebrew means smitten or wounded. A wounded spirit can be described. Now, some of these things may come to you, like I say, when I go over things, I'm going to go over a lot of things. And when I come to something that you think could be something that you have a problem with because you can't seem to get past it, either circle it on that sheet or write it on that sheet. You may circle 15 things because they're just things that kind of come to you. You may think, "Oh, yeah, I think I may have something here, and I'll get rid of that." Because if that spirit isn't there and we cast it out, it won't matter. It won't come out. But if it is there, it will come out. So, but the things that really seem to really strike you, write it on the page. Heartache, grief, anguish, misery, heaviness, desolation, despair, dejection, despondency, hurt, suffering, torment. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Well, recently, you know, your physical health can be greatly affected by happiness and sorrow. And there's a fellow we went to. We did a deliverance meeting with another couple in Victoria, on Vancouver Island, with some friends who are wonderful deliverance ministers in Canada. He is a well-known heart surgeon, probably the foremost heart surgeon in Canada, and he lives on Victoria Island. And he's been doing deliverance for many years. And we went over with another couple to do deliverance a couple years ago, and it was a glorious meeting. Oh my goodness, I couldn't get over it. These people are wonderful. Well, about a year and a half ago, he decided he's having an affair. He's having an affair. He left his wonderful wife for this woman that seems to have mind control over him, kind of witchcraft thing. And you'd think that he'd be the last person that would happen to. You know, I would have thought that if you'd name some men that I think would be the last people that it happened to, like Benny, Kevin. You know what I mean? He would have been on the list. And he looks 15 years older now, 2 years later. And he looks like his bones have dried a lot. And that's what this verse says. Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." You need to guard your heart. You need to guard it. So there are hundreds of verses in the Bible about the heart. Heart is central. The heart is central. If your heart is broken, you're paralyzed, and you'll never have the relationship with the Lord that you should have. So you've got to get a grip on your heart. And so this is a good time to cast out anything that you think might be there. And the good news is Jeremiah 30:17, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds." And that's what we want to do, is heal of the wounds. Proverbs 18:14. Turn to Proverbs 18:14. This is another important one. To memorize, circle, learn it, because you're going to have friends, relatives, a zillion people in your life that you need, you're going to help with this. You're going to help because They don't know about deliverance, and you do. And they don't know that they can ruin their lives by a brokenheartedness. Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. When your heart's in good shape, you can do a lot of things. You can respond to God appropriately. Back pain comes. Oh, instead of saying, oh, I guess that thing didn't leave, you'll say, you foul spirit, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to have you. I cast you out before, and I'm casting you out again, and in the name of Jesus, I'm healed by stripes. That back pain will leave. You speak to the back pain, it'll leave. Okay, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. If your spirit and your heart is in good shape, you will sustain your infirmity. You'll do right by your infirmity. You'll get rid of it. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? You can't do those things. You can't respond like you should with a wounded spirit. You just can't do it. Isaiah 65:14. Let's turn to Isaiah 65:14. This is another important one. Okay, behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and shall howl for vexation of heart. I have a friend right now whose husband is working on deliverance. He's not really getting too far. He knows a lot about deliverance. He's just started getting deliverance, but he was abused so badly by his mother. His heart was broken when he was a very young child. The abuse that he received, not so much physical abuse, although there was some, but the mental and verbal abuse. He was a child that should have been protected by his parents, not assaulted by his parents. And he's suffering so much from a brokenheartedness. His wounded spirit is so vast. He does things like, he says, he goes around the house pulling on his hair saying, this is a mature Christian. Now, I'm talking about a mature Christian. I'm talking about somebody that probably knows the Bible better than you do. He gets up at 4 a.m. and reads the Bible and studies it from 4 till 6:30 every day of his life. Because he wants to be a committed Christian. He's not doing too well in getting a grip on deliverance, but he does believe in deliverance. He's been to the deliverance meeting. He wants the Lord to deliver him. But he goes around the house saying, pulling his hair, saying, oh, the sorrow of it, oh, the sorrow of it. And his wife is very familiar with deliverance, and she says, I know, that's just demons, but, and they're working on it. But anyway, these things come in as a child. These things can come in as a child. There's a lot of things, brokenheartedness that comes as a child, things that you can't prevent or respond to. Trauma, surgery, broken promises. I mean, we could all go, death, being subject to death at a premature age, you know. Sometimes I think kids don't necessarily need to go to funerals. They don't need to deal with death like adults do. They need to deal with death, but sometimes these things can be traumatic. And this one lady had obtained an obsessive compulsive behavior because of a traumatic thing that happened in her life. She had a wonderful little puppy, a stuffed puppy, and she carried the puppy around. And she's about 5 or 6. 5 or 6 year olds do that, you know. They carry puppies and stuffed animals around. And she enjoyed talking to the puppy, and for some reason her dad was in a really bad mood, and he was obviously trying to hurt the little girl because he knew how much the puppy meant to her, and he pulled the puppy's head off while she was screaming and crying, Daddy, Daddy, please don't do that. I love that puppy, don't do that. So, now, today, she has, that was a, terrible trauma. And kids experience trauma like that all the time. And they need parents that can cast it out right when it happens. But anyway, she started with this obsessive-compulsive behavior of collecting puppies. Got puppies all over the place, stuffed puppies. Her room, for a while, she had it just confined to her room. And then they overtook and started overtaking the house. Now her marriage is in trouble because of this obsessive-compulsive behavior over the puppies that came in through no fault of her own. And there's just all kinds of things like this that can paralyze a person. And her marriage is paralyzed because of this obsessive collecting. She needs deliverance. I'm not going to go into it, but her marriage can be straightened out through deliverance. There's all kinds of things like this. Brokenheartedness that is causing problems with your relationships or your family's relations or your friends' relationships because they need to get the demons that you have opened the door and allowed them to sin. And sometimes it's through no fault of your own. Your parent opened the door. And they didn't know what they were doing. A lack of knowledge. My people perish for a lack of knowledge, the Bible says. Grief is just one example. I like what Earlene Moody said about grief. And I think she has it in the Red Deliverance book. She says, grief becomes rebellion when it controls your action to the point that we do not obey God. Grief becomes rebellion when it controls your action to the point that we do not obey God. There are many times that grief and hurt, someone will say something that will hurt you and you don't respond the way you know this word tells you to, and that's called rebellion. And we do it all the time. And so we God forgives. He wants us to come to Him with that because He will forgive it just that fast. Confess your sin. You know those verses. Anyway, I'm going to tell you an example of where somebody handled grief appropriately. Our secretary had her dog, her long-lost dog, the love of her life. Well, not the love of her life, her husband's love. But she loved that dog for 12 years. And the dog died. And one day she was in her house about the day after the dog died, just doing usual things, housework, whatever. And she thought she heard the jingle of the dog's collar, jingle, 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 down the hall. She turned around and she thought, oh my goodness, I know that it's not, I forgot the dog's name, I can't believe I did that. I know that's not Dusty, can't be Dusty, he's dead. Must be his ghost. Mm-hmm. Then she thought, nope, that's not a ghost, that's a demon. You foul spirit, you get out of here and don't you come back. And it quit doing that. But she responded appropriately because she knew the truth. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth and the truth will keep those demons from coming in and breaking your heart. Okay, there's another similar thing. Well, this is the opposite of a way that grief is handled inappropriate. A friend of mine, Erica, in California, her husband died, and she was grief-stricken. She loved him dearly, and they were inseparable. And he would come to her in the night, and he would lay beside her and hold her in his arms and talk to her, and she could feel him, touch, talk, and she loved that. She thought, this is the greatest thing. I don't have to live without my husband. This is wonderful. You know, she's thinking, oh, I can't wait till he comes. It didn't come every night. But her thoughts were, I can't wait till he comes back. You know, I'm so grief-stricken. This is helping me so much. And I tried to talk to her because her thoughts were, do you think the Lord is doing this? And I said, no, I don't think the Lord's doing it. I think that's the demon. She didn't respond to it. I haven't talked to her in a while. I don't know if she ever did get a grip appropriately. But this something similar happened, and if somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember which book. It's either Irma's or one of Erlene's books. She had a friend that had a similar thing happen, and the husband was coming and talking to her. She could feel, touch, real person, and she was sitting on the bed, and the husband came to her, and she said, she looked at this thing that she could feel and touch, looked like her husband. She touched him on the nose, and she said, you're nothing but a demon. And in the name of Jesus, I combine you and I command you to leave. And it disappeared. Now we can respond the way God wants us to, or we can respond inappropriately, and it can affect our hearts, and it can cripple us until we get deliverance. So you can prevent deliverance, and you can, or you, of course, there's always things that, like today, you're not going to get all the deliverance you need on this subject. Things will come up that you'll think of, oh, I forgot about that thing that my seventh grade teacher did to me. And it may be a couple years from now. Patty's a great example. She got great deliverance from a lot of different Catholic spirits. But a few years after the great deliverance, there was a biggie. And it doesn't matter. Whenever the time is right, like Cheryl was saying today, there'll be different times for different things. And when it comes up, get rid of it. When the Lord brings it to you, the Holy Spirit shows you, get rid of it. And I'm just hoping the Holy Spirit's going to show you some things that you're writing down on your page today. I think I'm going to skip that story. I wanted to just quote Augustine here. Augustine said something interesting about how complicated our heart is. Who can map out the various forces that play in one's soul? You know, the soul is the mind, will, and emotion. Man is a great depth, O Lord, but the hairs of the head are easier to count by far than the movements of his heart. Augustine knew how complicated. Now, how much the Scripture has to say about the heart. Is your heart numb? Are you beginning to think, well, I'm not really feeling the way I should. I'm not getting as excited as I should. We had a friend that was really affected by her She knew that she was numb toward her daughter and fine toward her son. She didn't have the love she should have for her daughter that she had for her son. To make a long story short, the problem was that something happened in the delivery room that caused a spirit of rejection to come into her daughter and a spirit to come into her, where she was not able to love her daughter the way she should. Now, this is a wonderful, committed Christian who had the gift of miracles, and I saw many people healed through her. And she had an ice cream shop, and people would come into the shop and say, oh, I have a swollen ankle. She'd touch it, and they'd be gone. And she had a great ministry. She witnessed to everybody in town. She lived in Selma, Alabama, when we lived there. But this thing was getting to her about not being able to love her daughter the way she loved her son. She came to Mike and said, do you think you can cast it out? And Mike said, yeah. And after he cast it out, instantly, she was fine. Her brokenhearted heart was healed. God wants to heal your broken heart. And here's the Eldridge, the same guy that I told you I read this great book about, Waking the Dead. There's a lot of interesting things about the heart. He believes in deliverance, falls a little short on deliverance, I think, but the book is good. He said, those who live from the mind shed few tears. And that's true. We don't want to live from our mind. We want to live from our heart. And if we find that we're just going to kind of go in through the motions, we're kind of numb, we're a little paralyzed in some department, whether it's loving your husband or making relationships or whatever. Jesus said many times, knowing what they were thinking in their hearts, He didn't say knowing what they're thinking in their minds. He didn't say knowing what they're thinking in their heads. There's so much in the Bible about the heart. 1 Kings 3:9, Solomon asked for a wise and discerning heart. He did not ask for a wise and discerning mind. He did not ask if he could think in a wise way. He asked for a wise heart. And Proverbs 21:2 says, all a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. The Lord is concerned about your heart, what you think in your heart. You may do one thing, but if your heart is right, it covers a lot. The Lord looks on the heart. And then in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Your heart can't be fully committed unless it's not broken. If you've got some issues of the heart, you cannot be fully committed to the Lord. Good and evil are stored in the heart. Luke 6:44-45. I'm not going to read that. It talks about the good man brings out good things from the heart. The evil man, evil things from the heart. Luke 18:15. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. These crops are produced by the heart. We've read so many verses. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. If your heart is not whole, you'll never have the joy of your salvation restored. You can't do it. It won't happen. You've got to have a whole heart to have that joy of your salvation the way God intends it to be. And some of you might be able to think back, what is it that's kind of stole that from me? You know, you may not be able to think of it today. You may not be able to write that on your page today. But some other time, the Lord might bring it to you. Oh, yeah, I think that's what paralyzed my heart, and I'm going to get rid of it. These are your enemies. They're not your friends. The demons are not your friends. They're your enemies. Ezekiel 36, this is the good news. The good news is, Ezekiel 36:26-27, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put up my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And then in Hebrews we know what it says. He'll write his laws on our heart. And then the circumcision of the heart is in Romans 2:28-29. Circumcision of the heart by Christ in Colossians 2:11. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Where does Christ dwell? Dwells in your heart. Ephesians 3:17. I didn't do anything that time. Anyway, I'm going to go over one little section of this part kind of quickly, because it's this is a huge subject, and we could talk about this part that I want to talk about. I could talk about this for hours, but I'm just going to zip over this. because I want to get to some other things. There are ways that we comfort our hearts that are incorrect. There are ways that we comfort our hearts that are correct. The Bible says a lot about how to comfort your heart. A lot in here about how to comfort your heart, what God wants you to do. And there are things that you do not want to do that are extremely important, because if you do this, it will open the door to demons and they'll come in and break your heart. Seek not revenge and retaliation. So much of the time, Dr. Null's got some great, great tapes on how if you really forgive somebody, there's no room for revenge. There's no room for retaliation. You can't pray to God's blessings on somebody if there's revenge involved. Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Some people seek solace in sexual affairs. Proverbs 6:32, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks heart and understanding, moral principle and prudence. He who does it is destroying his own life. You can respond to brokenheartedness by destroying your life, and you can, in the result, you can cause yourself a whole lot more problems and spend a whole lot more time getting deliverance by responding the wrong way. Another thing is, a lot of times that we comfort ourselves with food. There are positive things in the Bible about food, but one of the things that is not positive is obtaining comfort. And then from drugs, we seek relief through drugs, numbing the pain, and creating highs through drugs and various different pharmakia things that we do to get rid of the pain. We suppress. Another thing that we do is we suppress the pain of our heart. Instead of facing it, we just try to push it back. Basically, it's pushing unpleasant and painful feelings deep down inside. We just kind of ignore it and it'll go away. The Bible, the ignoring it, instead of facing it the way the Bible wants you to, opening the door and saying, come on in. You don't want to do that. You want to approach your broken heart, your hurts, because these hurts will not only affect you emotionally, but they'll affect you mentally, physically, in every way, if you don't respond to them appropriately. And the Bible says in Colossians 4:15, let the peace of God rule your hearts. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. John 16:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If you let your heart be troubled, if you don't deal with your brokenheartedness, it's your fault. God says, let not your heart be, neither let it be afraid. But God is willing, he wants to pick up the pieces of your heart, heal it, put it back together, bind you up. All you have to do is ask him. And that's what we're doing here today. We're asking him to free us from the things that cause us a broken spirit, a wounded spirit, and a broken heart. The Holy Spirit, of course, we know is the Comforter. John 14:16 and John 14:26, it talks about the Comforter, the Paraclete. That's what it basically means. The Paraclete, you know, the word means, learned this from Dr. Null, is the one who comes up beside us and comforts us, holds us up. We want to respond through the way with the Holy Spirit. The way, that's part of the Holy Spirit's job. He'll do it for you. Keep your heart. What causes some of the wounded spirits or a broken heart? There's a zillion things that cause it. Some of the things that are on your page there, rejection. You know, that'll turn into bitterness, resentment, rebellion toward God. But there's rejection, betrayal, abuse, abandonment, sin, calamity, disappointment. Disappointment is a biggie. In the body of Christ, disappointment is just huge. When we went to Switzerland, one out of two people needed deliverance from disappointment. And you know what a lot of that disappointment was? The disappointment was toward God. Things didn't turn out the way they planned. They became a Christian and they thought their life was going to be this way. And their life turned out this way. They thought they were going to marry the right person and have a wonderful ministry. It didn't happen. And that disappointment can turn to bitterness toward God, rebellion toward God. We need to forgive God, because sometimes we don't even realize how our hearts are broken from the disappointment. There's so much deliverance in Switzerland when we were there a couple of years ago for disappointment that had turned into bitterness and rebellion toward God, and the people did not even realize it. They didn't realize they were mad at God. They were trying to continue their relationship with God, and it was a struggle. It was a struggle. When you bind up the wounds, there won't be a struggle anymore. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is assurance of things hoped for." But what happens when we have hopelessness? The Bible says, now these three, faith, hope, and love. The grace of these is love. Faith, hope. Hope. Faith, hope, and love. You cannot live without hope. When you have gotten buried by hopelessness, you will have a broken heart. And it's amazing how many Christians fall into hopelessness of the first degree, because they think they've gone too far. They've ruined their lives too badly. They've screwed up too badly, and they can't get back to where they were with God. No, they can get to a much better place with God, because they can not only get delivered of brokenheartedness themselves, they can get their friends and family delivered of brokenheartedness. What are the symptoms of a wounded heart or a wounded spirit? Inner rawness, ache within you can't get rid of. Continual grief, sorrow. You're just not getting over this grief and sorrow. It's, you feel this dark overhead, heaviness above overhead. We had a friend that we talked to in New Orleans not too long ago, just a few days ago, and she was suffering from a terrible spirit of heaviness and sadness. And we called at a really good time, because she was just very open about it. And she, wonderful Christian, but she said, I feel like I've got this cloud of heaviness over me that I just can't get rid of it. The sadness, you know, the devastation. You know, I feel like I'm living in a what do you call it when you war zone where it's bombed. The war zone is and she said the sadness and heaviness is overtaking me. I'm overwhelmed. And so we cast that out, and she said, afterwards, she was so joyous and happy. She said, you know, before you called, I was so sad. And then on the phone, we got mad at the devil. And now I'm so glad. I thought that was good. Sad, mad, glad. But she needed to be free from that, because it was overtaking her. Hopelessness, I've talked a little bit about that. You feel a bleak future. You may feel like you're in a trap. The heaviness leads to depression. Depression is a big part of brokenheartedness, from which you feel there's no escape. You have the inability to trust people or God. It develops into a closed spirit. You're unable to risk further. You're not going to risk further. No more risks. I'll just stay here within myself. And your heart dies. You know, not only what you do is you let a brokenhearted heart ruin your life. Your life dies because your heart is cannot respond the way it should. In fact, you might even start into an agreement with death. A wounded spirit often longs for death, devises ways of escape to avoid further rejection, escapes into fantasy, denial, suppression, alcohol, drugs. Demons even make death seem desirable. Of course, this leads to suicidal thoughts. Now I want to just say a couple things about what happens when we leave our hearts unguarded. An unguarded heart, the wounds, you know, the wounds basically, what we've been talking about, they become infected. And when they become infected and start to fester, this basically, when you learn the truth and you don't do the truth, it's an opening for the demons to come in. Because they know if you know. They know if you're being unforgiving. They know if you're not approaching this thing for the right, and they will enter in this festering wound. And the preventing invention or the antiseptic is forgiveness. Forgiveness is such a big part of getting your broken heart healed. Sometimes you have to forgive God. You forgive people. You forgive, you may have to forgive over and over again. You may forgive one day and the thing creeps back in and you got to forgive the next day. But don't let it overtake your heart, because these unclean spirits are able to cause the brokenheartedness. The spirit is not a brokenhearted spirit. These things cause brokenheartedness from which God will heal you. If unforgiveness is allowed to fester, then the bitterness, resentment, rebellion follows. And there's been so much, there's so many good things that you can get here at Lake Hamilton that talk about how to deal with unforgiveness, and it's such a huge aspect of this. Proverbs 18:14, we've already read that about the spirit of a man, a wounded spirit, who can bear? You can't bear a wounded spirit. You don't want to live with a wounded spirit. You got to get rid of it. And if it breaks down, if our spirit breaks down and becomes incapacitated, we cannot keep a well body, a good functioning body. Illnesses and infirmities will overtake us, because that you'll find that when people get healed sometimes of the wounded spirit and the broken heart, voila, the diseases go away. Proverbs 4:23, guard thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Out of it flow the issues of life. Out of it come the issues of life. Guard thy heart. That's one of the most important things you can do. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. 2 Thessalonians talks about comforting your hearts. I'm not going to read that one. I'm going to give you an example of somebody who guarded her heart appropriately. It was the way she did it according to the biblical principle. She's a mature Christian, a very mature Christian. This happened a number of years ago when we first moved to Illinois. We went to this great home church where the pastor was just fantastic. He was just the great. He moved in the gifts along with his wife better than anybody I've ever seen. He was the best Bible teacher ever. People got saved right and left. People could not fit into the house anymore. It was just overflowing. The worship was wonderful. Best Bible teaching we have ever had. And he had an affair. Left his wife. Ruined his ministry. These are actually tears of joy for her. Although it could have ruined her life. Could have been the end. She could have lived the less. She's probably 80 now. But she could have lived the next 20 years with a broken heart. But she immediately forgave him. First time I talked to her, you know what she said to me? She said, "Her name was Imogen. Her husband's name was Jean. The devil took him out. The devil took him out." But here's what she said to me the first time I saw her. She said, "You know, that wasn't Jean." She said, "You can look on his face and you can see those demons. That's not Jean." And her ministry flourished from there. God blessed her ministry. She continued on helping people, getting people saved. She had a wonderful prophetic ministry. She flourished. Her ministry got better. His was ruined. Now that is a response that she guarded her heart. She did what she knew she should do. She was obedient to God, and she did not suffer for 20 years from a broken heart. If we leave our hearts unguarded, the sorrow will not be able to heal. The way you guard your heart is through some of these things we've talked about. You've got to keep a short account on forgiveness of everyone. You cannot let unforgiveness fester in any way. Because in Matthew 18 it says God will send the tormentors. It doesn't say Satan will send the tormentors. It says God will. God will send the demons. That's all I wanted to say on that subject. On to the next. You think I'm never going to get done with this? I am. I'm looking at my clock. Okay. Now, in Isaiah... we've really talked about Isaiah 61... But I want to point out one part of Isaiah 61. We talked about Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Now I want to talk about Isaiah 61, 3. To appoint unto them. This has a lot to do with, you know, the story about the lady in New Orleans. She was suffering from a spirit of heaviness. Isaiah 61, 3 talks about that. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, talk about the ashes in New Orleans. The oil of joy for mourning. Most people in New Orleans are mourning. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Basically, that's what Lorraine, she went from having this terrible heaviness over her to, she says, oh, I'm so glad you called. I was sad. I got mad at the devil, and now I'm so glad. And then we left her praising the Lord and talking about all the things she was going to get up and do and the people she was going to help. And the joy of the Lord is we'll exchange for a broken heart. Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it sad, but a good word maketh it glad. Heaviness in the heart. Heaviness in the heart. You can have devastating events that will cause brokenheartedness. Not just, you know, abortion, suicide. You can have a friend, a loved one, a family member that commits suicide, and that can be the most devastating thing in the world. It can ruin your life. If you don't deal with it properly, somebody else's death, cancer, the death of a husband, it can ruin your life to brokenheartedness. It can be overwhelming. The spirits that we've dealt with the most in the last 2 months out in California have been overwhelming. The spirit is called overwhelming. We go to somebody, talk to them, deal with their spirits, and then come to overwhelming. And they say, yes, that's it. I'd say that's the main thing, overwhelming. I just feel overwhelmed. My heart is overwhelmed. You know, and you cannot deal with the overwhelming to the point that it will break you. It will break your spirit. You will not be able to get up from the stress. You will not be able to go on from the overwhelming stress. So we're going to cast out overwhelming today. So if you haven't written that down, write it down. These overwhelming spirits, just open the door. Open the door to other their buddies. I'm really not talking about the subject of overwhelming, so I really don't want to go into how to deal with overwhelming. But one of the things is, you know, there are so many verses where Jesus says that my load is easy, my burden is light. You know, learn those scriptures, quote them. You have enough trouble for the day. Jesus said, you know, don't fret about tomorrow. And you know, you need to obey him. You either do or you don't. You obey him, you do or you don't. You become overwhelmed if you don't. You let the stress overtake you if you disobey him. If you let that overwhelming spirit, just speak to it. Just speak to it. When it starts to come on you, overwhelming and stressed, just speak to it. Say, in the name of Jesus, I bind you up. I'm not going to let you ruin today, tomorrow, or next week. You're not going to ruin my life. I'm not going to be overwhelmed by this life. You know, maybe it's your fault. Maybe it's not. Maybe you have a lot of... One of the people I wanted to tell you about that she got some great deliverance with. Basically, that was her problem. The beauty shop in Anion, I think I may have mentioned this before, but her problem was depression. Mike was in the beauty shop, and he was casting out carpal tunnels, and this lady was going to have shoulder surgery, and she got healed, and these ladies were, oh, this is happy, happy. And she was, Johnny, the one I want to tell you about, she was sitting over there doing nails. So she came over there and tapped Mike on the shoulder, and she said, do you think you could cast depression out? And he said, sure. So they worked. She had a lot to be depressed about. You know, her stress was real. Her daughter was spending all of her money, had spent all her husband's money. They were about to get a divorce because she was expensive. Her daughter's problem was the spending. But her problem was it was falling over into her and causing her stress. Her father was dying from cancer. Her son had a number of problems. And so she was really overwhelmed, depressed, stressed, and Mike cast it out. So she went hooping and hollering all over the beauty shop. She said, oh, praise the Lord, I'm free. So then he said, do you think, I'm so tired all the time, I can hardly walk. And he said, well, that's the depression. And she said, well, I have pain in my legs. So he cast out the pain in her legs, changed her life. So, but you can let this, she could go on with the overwhelming, the brokenhearted from all the things that were happening with her daughter, and her heart was broken over her father. She could have gone on with that, but instead, she went ahead and got deliverance. and it changed her life. She went on to school and got a new profession, and she's making more money now. But that's because suddenly, without the overwhelming spirit and depression, she had enough energy to go to school, and it changed her life. Recently in California, we had some other people. One lady was, her hands were shaking for 8 years. She couldn't stop. Her hands couldn't stop. And when Mike was working on this overwhelming spirit, the stress and the overwhelming, she was really funny because she would call and she'd say, you know, when you cast that thing out of my hands, I was fine for 2 days. First time in 8 years I had no shaking in my hands, but now my hands are shaking again. Could you do it again? So Mike would cast it out again over the phone, and then we'd talk to her some and teach her how to do it. And one time she called the friend that had introduced us to her. She called him and she said, wow, there is power in the name of Jesus. Now when that shaking comes, I can cast it out myself. I cast it out day before yesterday and I haven't had any shaking. So, you know, you've got to teach people these things. These people perish for a lack of knowledge. You have to teach them how to do it. You got a lot of people out there that are dying from a lack of knowledge and dying from a broken heart, and you're going to get them healed. Deborah was another example. We had the most wonderful opportunity to go to a resort and cast out ghosts out of the resort. That was fun. But the woman that was there, who's buying the resort because people weren't coming to the resort, so it was cheap. She's a Christian, and she had been talking. And she knew a little bit about deliverance, and she had been talking to us about deliverance for a couple of years. And when Mike did some deliverance, the overwhelming spirit was one. It was causing confusion. These demons were getting a hold of her mind, and she was a wonderful businesswoman. But she said, I know there's something wrong here because my mind will go from one thing to another. I can't seem to concentrate on one thing. And Mike said, yeah, I can tell because you're on the phone with 50 different people in 2 hours, you know, and you just go from one thing to another. And she was very open, and she said, yeah. And the next day, she said to Mike, she said, you know, I feel so much better. I don't have this overwhelming feeling. I don't have this stress in my heart. Did you notice, Mike? I haven't been on the phone today. She doesn't feel the need to do this, do that, and go to this, and go to that, you know. She felt calmer and more able to trust the Lord with her, even her business. So there are a zillion things like that. Another girl that we talked to, she was having an overwhelming brokenheartedness because her husband, she really couldn't trust him. He was always repenting from having affairs, and he really isn't a believer, but she is. And she was trying to forgive him, and she had just had breast cancer that she had recovered from, but she had this. She was really suffering from a lot of symptoms of overwhelming brokenheartedness, and her dog was dying from cancer, and just a lot of things. And deliverance set her free to where it was just really marvelous to see the way she's able to live again with joy on her face, joy in her life, and she's able to really love her husband and attack the problem with her husband from a different point of view. You know, she wanted. It's important to her for her husband to get saved, and she's trying to deal with this problem of his. You know, that's a big problem, and I'm not going to touch today. But it does create this overwhelming brokenheartedness. So I think I'm just about done with what I wanted to say about this subject, and we're going to start tackling some of these demons. And you know, God wants to restore your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions. He wants to restore your heart. He wants to pick up the pieces. And I just want to just pray a little prayer. Linda, if you'd pick up those pages. And I want everybody to, I just want you, it's just a short prayer that I want you to repeat after me. In fact, why don't you stand just so that you can get a little... And you can sit for deliverance, and Debbie and Laura and Jane and Patty will come around with paper towels. Debbie, you want to come up here and get these paper towels and give them to Patty and Jane? And So don't feel bad about trying to get a grip on these demons, because everybody's suffered from this. Here, Debbie, take these two. Just give everybody a roll, okay? I mean, give Patty and Laurie, and there's some more paper towels here if you need them. Okay, now if you just, what we're doing is, this is just a short prayer, because you've prayed a lot of long renunciation prayers maybe in the past, and if you haven't, you're going to today at 3 o'clock. I'm not going to go through that, but Dr. Null is really good at helping to get some things, you know, just taken care of once and for all. I'm not going to go over that. I'm going to go over just a short prayer for you to pray, and then we'll get to these demons and get rid of them. Just repeat after me. Lord, I renounce and break.
Lord, I renounce and break.
Any agreements that I may have had.
Any agreements that I may have had.
With Satan.
With Satan.
And his demons.
And his demons.
I renounce and break.
I renounce and break.
And repent from.
And repent from.
Any time I may have opened the door.
Any time I may have opened the door.
To these demons.
To these demons.
I renounce any claim.
I renounce any claim
Satan may have had.
Satan may have had.
And any ground I may have given him.
And any ground I may have given him.
Lord, bind me up.
Lord, bind me up.
And make me whole.
And make me whole.
According to Luke 4:18.
According to Luke 4:18.
Bind me up.
Bind me up.
And make me whole.
And make me whole.
Take the pieces of my broken heart.
My broken spirit,
and put them back together.
Bind up my broken heart.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, did you hear me? Would you hear me, those? Okay, now a good thing to do, because demons come out through the air. Demon, the word in Greek, I think it is, means pneumo, air. And a lot of times it comes out that way. It comes out through coughing, through breathing, through burping, through laughing, through crying, through yawning. Yawning is probably the biggest way for me. I just yawn like crazy. Yawn and cough. And you want to prime the pump sometimes. You know, if I say something and it comes across to you like, yeah, that's right. You know, and you're thinking in your mind, I want to get rid of anything. Anything that comes to my mind that she says, I want to get rid of it. This is what you're thinking. I don't want you to say it out loud. I don't want you to pray. Because what we're doing is we're leaving your air passages open for taking deep breaths, for breathing. Sometimes when I say, take a deep breath and cough, it's because I want you to just go ahead and you may forget about priming the pump, which is... You may forget about that. You may be concentrating on what I'm saying. And sometimes I'll tell you, just take a deep breath, cough, breathe. And when you yawn, just let the yawn yawn. And when you cry, let the cry cry. And if you burp, some people just burp, and some people hiccup. Demons come out from hiccuping. And the strangest things, you may think it's strange, but it's not strange. It's the way the demons come out. And don't pray. They come out through your passages, and sometimes what will happen when a demon is about to come out, a person will start to pray, and it goes back down. It can go back down. And what you're trying to do by coughing is you're saying, you're thinking, demon, I don't want you. I want you to leave. You've got to leave. I'm pushing you out. I can't remember what verse it is now that almost indicates the deliverance is pushing back. Somebody else may be able to know what I'm talking about. But when we're set free and we delivered, we actually push the demons out. There's some verses that mean that, but I can't think what they are. But anyway, I'm going to go over. Should I turn this off during this part? Are we done? No? We'll leave it on? Okay. Okie dokie. So remember, don't pray. You can sit down. And sit down and get comfortable. And if anybody comes around to you, they may say something to you like, cough, take a deep breath. Just pay attention, you know, because you're thinking in your mind. You're not praying. You're thinking in your mind, demon, I don't want you. I agree with God. I don't want this broken heart. I'm going to get rid of any spirit that could have come in as a result of my broken heart. That's what you're thinking in your mind. And with your body, you're pushing it out. So when I say something, somebody might even come around to you and say to you, take a deep breath. They're basically just saying, prime the pump a little bit. If it's not there, if that particular spirit's not there, it's not going to come out. Well, not going to come out. It's not there. Sounds reasonable. Okay. So I'm going to come against these things and cast them out. Okay. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for binding these up and for agreeing with us and to coming against these things. Regret, I come against you, I bind you. Regret, I bind you in Jesus' name, you come out. Disgust, in Jesus' name, spirit of disgust. Sometimes it's disgust at yourself. Sometimes it's disgust at your broken heart. Sometimes it's disgust at the person that broke your heart. But that spirit of disgust, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. Out. Rejection of others. Come out. Out in Jesus' name. The overwhelming spirit. Overwhelming, in the name of Jesus, you come out. Overwhelming, come out. Out in Jesus' name. The pressure. The stress. Tiredness that comes from a broken heart. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I command you to come out. Tiredness, overwhelming, hateful, tiredness, pressure, stress, in the name of Jesus, come out. Take a deep breath, cough. Stress, I command you to come out. You spirit of stress, you come out. In Jesus' name, I bind you, and I command you to come out. Stress and pressure, sadness, the spirit of sadness, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. I bind you and command you to come out, out. Self-deception, sometimes you're deceived. I've deceived myself. Self-deception, in the name of Jesus, come out. Anything that may be deceiving, in Jesus' name, out, 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 in Jesus' name, come out. Out. Sadness, fear, anxiety, come out. Apprehension, fear, come out. I bind you, fear and apprehension, you come out. Out in Jesus' name, out. Every last one, come out. Every demon of fear, anxiety, apprehension, grief, despondency, discouragement, disappointment, in Jesus' name, the spirit of disappointment, I command you to go. Sorrow, go. Sorrow, condemnation of yourself, condemnation of other people. I bind you, you spirits of condemnation, you are bound. I bind you, come out. Condemnation, you come out. Out in Jesus' name. You are bound and I command you to come out. Come on out. Any spirit that's related to condemnation, unworthiness and discouragement, I bind unworthiness, you come out. I bind unworthiness, the spirit of self-hatred. Self-hatred in Jesus' name, I command you to come out. I bind you in Jesus' name, you come out. Self-hatred, unworthiness, you come out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Escape, passivity in Jesus' name. I bind you, spirit of passivity, come out in Jesus' name. Every spirit of passivity, self-deception, lethargy, weariness, tiredness, I command you. Take a deep breath, cough. In Jesus' name, weariness, tiredness, I bind you in Jesus' name. Come out. Defeatism, come out. Escape, passivity, lethargy, tiredness, weariness, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Every last one. Come out. Weariness, come out. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. Indecision, come out. Resentment, come out. Come out. Distrust, heaviness, come out. Heaviness in the name of Jesus. Heaviness, come out. Spirit of heaviness, I command you. I bind the spirit of heaviness right now. I bind the spirit of heaviness. Come out. Out in Jesus' name. The spirit of heaviness, take a deep breath, cough, take a deep breath. Spirit of heaviness, I bind you, spirit of heaviness, you come out. Confusion, insomnia, in the name of Jesus, insomnia, lack of sleep. Brokenheartedness that causes lack of sleep, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Out, insomnia, confusion, heaviness, distrust, in Jesus' name. Worry, fear, anxiety, dread. Dread, in the name of Jesus. You spirit of dread, I bind you. Spirit of dread, you come out. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Fear of rejection. Rejection and fear of rejection. In Jesus' name, all spirits of rejection, you come out. Out in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of rejection and you come out. I bind the spirit of fear of rejection. Fear of man, you come out. I bind you in Jesus' name. Now you come out. Fear of man. Distrust, worry, anxiety, dread, rejection, doubt, doubt in the name of Jesus, doubt, doubt in the name of Jesus. I command all doubt, murder, in any spirit of murder in Jesus' name, I bind you and I command you to come out. Out, unworthiness, overwhelming unworthiness, come out, out. Disappointment, a disappointment. Need for attention in Jesus' name. Need for attention. Defeatism. I bind the need for attention. I bind defeatism. Defeatism in Jesus' name. I command you to come out. I loose you. I destroy you. I take your tentacles off in Jesus' name. You spirit of defeatism, dejection, distrust, selfishness, laziness, deceit. Self-will, rebellion, dejection, hopelessness. I bind the spirit of hopelessness in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of hopelessness, disappointment, hopelessness, disappointment. You are bound. I bind hopelessness in Jesus' name. All hopelessness in Jesus' name, I bind you and I command you to come out. You are bound in Jesus' name. Out. Out by the blood of Jesus. Out by the blood of Jesus. Restlessness, apprehension, roving, grief, apprehension, restlessness. I bind restlessness. I bind apprehension in the name of Jesus. I command you to come out. Come out. Out by the blood. Out by the blood. I loose you. You are destroyed in the name of Jesus. You must come out. Apprehension, go. Apprehension, go. Restlessness, go. Roving, go. Grief in the name of Jesus, go. Confusion, go. Insomnia, go. Indecision, in the name of Jesus, indecision, I command you to go. I command you to go. Indecision. Indecision, you are bound and you are loosed. Anger, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. Any anger that anger from this, in Jesus' name, you are bound. I command you to go. Take a deep breath, cough, just breathe deeply. Confusion, self-hatred, indecision, anger, in Jesus' name, I command you to go. Go in Jesus' name. Go. In the name of Jesus, brokenheartedness from having to give something up. Brokenheartedness from giving up something precious, something beloved in Jesus' name. Hopelessness from having to give it up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the sadness from having to give it up. Sadness in the name of Jesus, I bind you in Jesus' name. Fantasy, escape. Fantasy, I bind fantasy in Jesus' name. Escapism, I bind you in Jesus' name. You come out. Out, let them go. Embarrassment from betrayal. Betrayal and embarrassment. In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of betrayal, I bind you and I command you to go. You go. There's all forms of betrayal. In the name of Jesus, I bind you up and I command you to go. Betrayal in Jesus' name, I command you to go. I bind you up and I command you to let her loose. Let her loose in Jesus' name. Betrayal, come out. Embarrassment, come out. In Jesus' name, come out. Out in Jesus' name. Sadness from betrayal. Sadness and betrayal in Jesus' name. I bind you and command you to loose her. Come out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Leave in Jesus' name. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. Distrust. I bind you, the spirit of distrust from the betrayal. Betrayal and distrust. You are bound in Jesus' name. Betrayal and distrust that causes brokenheartedness. I bind you and you come out. You come out and you lose her. Let her go. Let her go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, you go. You go. I break that power. I break it. In Jesus' name. The power of the distrust. The power of distrust. You are broken. You spirit of distrust, you come out. I bind you in Jesus' name. You let her loose. You let her loose. The spirit of distrust. The spirit of I can't trust anybody. In the name of Jesus. And the spirit of I can't give myself to anybody. The spirit of I can't love anybody. In Jesus' name, you foul spirit of I can't love, I won't love. In Jesus' name, you come out. I bind you and you come out. Spirit of insecurity. Spirit of insecurity in Jesus' name, you come out. Indifference. Tiredness that of due to disease. In Jesus' name, I command you to loose her. The spirit of infirmity, I bind the spirit of infirmity. You let her go. Spirit of infirmity, tiredness from infirmity and disease. In Jesus' name, you loose her. You go. Yeah, I bind you, and in Jesus' name, you go. Go in Jesus' name. Go. The spirit of arthritis, rejection, or arthritis, in Jesus' name, you leave. Dread, spirit of crying, in Jesus' name, I bind you and I command you to go. Spirit of fear of rejection, unforgiveness, indecision, spirit of unforgiveness, I bind the spirit of unforgiveness and I command you to go. Spirit of unforgiveness, you have to leave. You cannot cause this problem any longer. Spirit of, you cannot have a grip. Spirit of unforgiveness, you let loose your grip. I bind you, I break you, and you come out. And come out. Out. Spirit of unforgiveness, let her go. Let her go. Heaviness, confusion, regret. The spirit of regret, you go. Spirit of regret, go. Stubbornness, spirit of stubbornness, in Jesus' name, I bind the stubbornness, and in Jesus' name, you let her go. Tiredness, sleepiness, lethargy, sleepiness, hopelessness, feeling of paralyzed, you spirit of paralyzed, in Jesus' name, you paralyzed spirit, in Jesus' name, I command you to let her loose. Being paralyzed, in Jesus' name, spirit of paralyzed, you let her loose. Spirit of numbness, I command you to loose her, in Jesus' name. You spirit of numbness, I bind you, and I command you to loose her. Loose her. Spirit of numbness, you come out. Out, in Jesus' name. Out. Out. Despondency. Depression. Despondency. Come out. Out, in Jesus' name. Spirit of depression, the spirit of despondency, I bind you, and I break your power. I break you. You have to come out. Out, out, in Jesus' name. Let her go. Come out. 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 Spirit of confusion, spirit of dread, spirit of worry. I bind the spirit of worry, and I command you to come out. Spirit of guilt, condemnation. Spirit of condemnation and guilt. Spirit of condemnation and guilt. Come out. Spirit of guilt, condemnation, unworthiness. Any minions that have to do with unworthiness, in Jesus' name, I bind you, and I break your power. I break it. Spirit of unworthiness, come out. Out in Jesus' name. Let her go. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, out. Resentment, spirit of resentment, spirit of unforgiveness and resentment, spirit of bitterness and rebellion. In Jesus' name, I bind the spirits of bitterness and rebellion that have caused your broken heart. In Jesus' name, I command those spirits to let loose. I bind those spirits and they come out. Out in Jesus' name. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Fear of rejection. Fear of rejection. I command you to come out. Loose it. Fear of rejection. Fear of man. In Jesus' name, let it go. Let her go. Go in the name of Jesus. Let her go. In Jesus' name. Anger. Anger in Jesus' name, leave. I bind anger. I bind anger from what happened to me. I bind anger from what he did to me. Anger from what the pastor did to me. Anger from being hurt by the church, by those in church. In Jesus' name, stubbornness. Stubbornness in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of stubbornness. I bind the spirit of stubborn spirit. I bind you, you come out. Out in Jesus' name. Spirit of stubborn. Let her go. Go. I break it. Embarrassment and pressure. Spirit of envy in Jesus' name. I bind you in Jesus' name and I command you to come out. I command you to let her go. Let her go. That spirit of rejection in Jesus' name. Envy and rejection. Let her go. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus. Rebellion, bitterness, you're bound, I bind rebellion and bitterness, torment and trauma from a child, terror that came in as a child and broke your heart, in Jesus' name, I bind those terror, I bind that abuse, I bind the spirit of abuse and a terror, and the controlling spirits that you had around you as a child, sibling controlling spirits, in the name of Jesus, I bind you foul spirits of control. I bind all spirits of mind control that came in from abuse. In Jesus' name, those abusive spirits of mind control, you come out. You let her go. Come out. Spirits from a child that were overwhelming confusion as a child that broke your heart. Those spirits that have caused arrested development. Arrested development spirits, come out. Out. Spirits from arrested development, come out. Out in Jesus' name. Confusion, disappointment. The need to forgive God. Madness at God. Come out. All madness at God. Come out. Out in Jesus' name. Childhood abuse. Sexual abuse. Rage. Rage from abuse. Rage. Rage and anger in Jesus' name. Rage and anger in the name of Jesus. The dumb spirit in Jesus' name. Come out. 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 Rage. Dumb. Spirit of dumb in Jesus' name. Come out. Deaf and dumb spirit. Come out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Overwhelming. Overwhelming. Sexual abuse. All abuse that has broke your heart from sexual abuse. The overwhelming sexual abuse in Jesus' name. I command you to go. Go. Let her loose. Let her loose in Jesus' name. Any rage and deafness, anger, anger in Jesus' name, come out. Out. Anger and rage from sexual abuse, from childhood abuse, from adult abuse. In Jesus' name, I bind you and break it. And I break it, I break it, I break it in Jesus' name. Come out. By the blood of Jesus, you can't stay. We're not allowing you to stay. The angels of the Lord are to come to minister. We ask the Lord to send your ministering angels to minister to these hearts that need binding. To be binding up and healing in Jesus' name. Self-rejection that came from sexual abuse in Jesus' name. All self-rejection from sexual abuse, you come out, out. Rejection, rejection, anger, lying spirit, frustration. Frustration, condemnation. I bind the spirit of frustration and condemnation. In Jesus' name, I bind you. You come out. Shame, embarrassment. Shame, embarrassment. I bind the spirit of embarrassment. I bind the spirit of shame, and I command you to come out. You come out by the blood of Jesus. You cannot stay. You're out. Out, out, out in Jesus' name. Out of here. Spirit from drugs. Escapism. Spirit of drugs. Alcohol. Tiredness. Pressure. Pressure, drugs, alcohol, spirits of alcohol, spirits of drugs, spirits that we to release from reality, spirits of unreality, unreality in Jesus' name. I bind you, command you to go. I loose you, spirits of doubt, self-rejection, spirits of doubt, undecision, indecision, confusion, frustration, foul spirits of confusion, frustration, doubt, rejection in Jesus' name. I command you to come out, out, out. You are bound in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Christ, you are bound and you must come out, out in Jesus' name. Frustration, I bind the spirit of frustration and you come out, out in Jesus' name. Out, out, out in the name of Jesus. Every last one, the spirit of heaviness, come out, out, out. Spirit of disappointment, spirit of trauma, anxiety. I bind any spirits that came in during trauma. I bind the anxiety from that. I bind the spirit of fear, the spirit of hurts, overwhelming hurts, discouragement, the hurts that came in, deceit, hurts from deceit, hurts from lying, the hurts from lying, spirits from indifference. Spirits of distrust and indifference in the name of Jesus. Indifference, I bind you and I command you to come out. Indifference, you let her loose. Indifference, you go. Go in the name of Jesus. Indifference, you cannot stay. I will not allow you to stay in Jesus' name. You break it, break it, break it. You come out. Dread, despair, apprehension. I bind the spirits of apprehension, dread, and despair. You come out. Those spirits that go along with overwhelming, come out in the name of Jesus. The trauma spirits, the overwhelming trauma. In Jesus' name, you're bound up and everyone is loosed. And you keep coming out. You come out now, you come out tonight, you come out tomorrow, and you keep on coming out. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that binds us up and heals us and looses us from these things that we don't want. They're our enemy, they're not our friends, and we thank you, Lord, for your healing and what you can do for us. The Holy Spirit, come. We just ask you to fill us up and come and help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC bibleonline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.